You know, I so interested to see that when you pull up the NBA Finals, that there are so many stories about this being the 20th anniversary of the 98 Finals. The Finals, of course, that included the Michael Jordan six-game series win over the Utah Jazz. And it's unbelievable to think that it's been 20 years since the Bulls had that dynasty. Mark Carman joins us now. Carm on the line to talk about the NBA Finals, to talk about how far the Bulls of now are from getting back to the stage and to walk down memory lane. Carm, thanks for shifting around to join us tonight on the download. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Justin Kaufman. Good to be here. Always happy to shift for you.
Well, this is good because we could do preview as opposed to. So it looks like the Warriors are killing the Cavs, which we're going to do in the 9 o'clock hour. So tonight, before we get to talking about the Bulls, tonight this is the fourth year in a row that these two squads have met up. The Cleveland Cavaliers did a lot of changing their lineup and trying new things to get back to this spot, but the Golden State Warriors have been just a level of excellence, even if they weren't the number one seed in the West. What do you expect from this series? Is this going to be a lopsided series towards the Warriors?
I mean, I think, you know, certainly the safe pick is that it will be lopsided and that Golden State is the better team and certainly the way more explosive team. The question for the Cavs is, can they slow the pace down? Can they get it into a physical, grind you out, and then we've got LeBron James on the other end, you can't stop him game? I think that Houston actually sort of gave a formula because they played so much isolation ball with Harden. So if the Cavs can sort of follow that with LeBron, who's better at it than Harden, then they have a chance if they can play defense. I mean, the Rockets guarded Golden State pretty well. So yeah. Who knows if the Cavs, I don't know if the Cavs can guard as well as Houston. So, but I'm not as the series is going to be a complete whitewash. There's a little magic going on in Cleveland this season. So I'm expecting a tighter series than most.
Let's talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers, because it seems that LeBron James scoffs at this the legacy question and asking him about how he compares to Michael Jordan, and he seems to light up when they talk about the team. He has had quotes in the last couple weeks where he has said, this is team basketball. You learn it when you're playing at 7 years old. The team wins, individuals lose. You guys want to make it all about individuals. How is he when it comes to this Cleveland Cavaliers team? Is he right in the sense that the only way they're going to beat the Golden State Warriors is if they play team basketball?
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. Look, last year he averaged, what, close to 40 a game in the series. They lost 4-1, and Kyrie was there, and they scored a ton. So Golden State's like, okay, go ahead, you can score 40, but, you know, we're going to put up 120-some-odd points, and that's just where's the other 80 going to come from? So he needs everybody. There's no doubt. I think he shies away from the Michael talk. One, because he knows he's not as good as Michael. Let's just get that out there, Justin. Let's make sure we have that. that everybody's just remembering that, even though we've got a lot of recency bias lately in the media. And also, I mean, this is who he is, right? I mean, you're talking about a guy who's in the finals for 8 straight years, 4 with Miami, 4 with Cleveland. And people are bored by the matchup, like, oh, it's Cleveland and Golden State again. This is a totally different Cavaliers team. I mean, it was LeBron and Kyrie. Now you've got Jeff Green running around. It's just it's a totally different feel than they were last year. So I just don't get that. Like, who doesn't want to see LeBron James play in the finals? I think it's great for the league. And who doesn't want to see the Warriors? I mean, they're the best team of this generation right now.
Let's talk about the Warriors. Obviously, they have such star power, and watching them in Game 7 against the Rockets, and it was tremendous to watch Kevin Durant, who I think, as big of a superstar as he is, he still doesn't get enough credit for just having ice in the veins in the fourth quarter, to watch him just hit jump shots, contested jump shots, with 2 minutes to play, 1 minute to play, as if it's no big deal. It shows you, A, how a superstar is made, and also shows you how far our team is from competing. But Kevin Durant is a special player.
No question. Best offensive player in the game as far as getting his own shot. There's no doubt about it. And last year in the playoffs, he played better than LeBron. But, at least in the finals, he did. Here's the thing, though. To me, Golden State looked a little bit off, Justin. Like, that series, I didn't think it was going to go 7 games, but it did. If Chris Paul plays in Game 7, do the Warriors win the game? I'm not sure. And there was other points in time where Durant was sort of deferring oddly, like he didn't do in the past, like he wasn't owning it as if it was quote unquote his team. So he's great. He's their best scorer, and they've got a lot of scorers. But there's just a little bit of a mojo missing right now with Golden State. They've got that turn it on whenever they want type of thing going on. So, you know, and maybe that won't come, maybe it won't catch up with them, but it nearly did against the Rockets.
Yeah. Well, tonight, the game one, of course, of the NBA Finals. Mark Carmen on the line with us here, WGN Sports. We'll take a quick break. We come back. Let's talk about the Chicago Bulls. Obviously, 20 years since the last time we were at this stage. But truthfully, how far away are we when we talk about the rebuild and the draft coming up? Could this be a lightning-fast turnaround, or are we talking years of a rebuild on the West Side? Mark Carmen with us here on The Download. Stay with us.
Been Steph Curry with the shot, been cooking with the sauce, Chef Curry with the pot, boy. 360 with the wrist, boy.
Carm, I've said this many a times on this program. I only like my basketball players if they're referencing rap songs. And right now, we're not getting any Markkanen raps on the West Side yet, I'm sure. The Chicago Bulls, of course, not playing in the NBA Finals tonight. We're talking basketball. Where are we? The NBA draft is coming up. The once again, the Bulls have a lotto pick. Where are we in the rebuild? This season was very forgettable, obviously. Do you see a light at the end of the tunnel here?
I see a speckle of a glimmer of a hope, Justin. I mean, I don't know. Look, let's do this exercise real fast. LeBron James is a free agent at the end of the finals. If you put LeBron on the Bulls, are they the champs in the East next year? I think you can make a pretty good argument that they actually are. I mean, you got a young Markkanen, you've got LaVine who can shoot it, you got Chris Dunn who can handle it and play a little bit of defense, and you've got the seventh overall pick in the draft. Hopefully you get a real good player. Now, LeBron, of course, is not coming here. So that puts him with every other team in the NBA that doesn't have LeBron. And the Bulls are far, far away. I mean, they've got huge, huge decisions to make with Zach LaVine, restricted free agent. Can they come to an agreement on a contract? What are they paying him? That kind of, you know, that's a money and a long-term play. Can Chris Dunn, their point guard, take a huge step forward next year? A, stay healthy. B, be consistent. C, shoot the ball a little bit better. And same thing with Markkanen. I mean, as far as staying healthy and being on the court, because he did show signs this year, even as a rookie, breaking down. He had some problems with his back. So to me, that's the only concern with Laurie. I think he's going to be a really good player, but I do worry about his health. And then who are they going to add in? What are they getting at 7? Do they trade up? Because they also have the number 22 pick. I personally love Mo Bamba, and he's going to be visiting the Bulls tomorrow, meeting the media around noon. So maybe we'll have some audio for the station in the afternoon tomorrow. But, what are they going to get at 7? Michael Porter is a guy that might fall there, but he's got a bad back, but also a huge upside. I mean, it's a huge, huge draft for the Bulls right now. But long-winded answer here. I mean, I talked to Pax at the NBA Draft Lottery and asked him, like, well, you know, is it fair to say that you guys won't be back here next year? And he just kind of looked at me like, we very well might be back here next year. You know this, and everybody else does. So, I mean, if they make the playoffs next year, that'd be a pretty big accomplishment.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, let's talk about, I obviously just mentioned the draft for free agency. This is supposed to be a heralded class. Kevin Durant, of course, LeBron James, as you mentioned, Zach LaVine shows up as a restricted free agent. But there's a lot of players that could actually make a difference on the Chicago Bulls. Are we going to be players, or does that old traditional albatross that's been around our neck where players don't want to come to Chicago still hold true?
I don't believe that. I think players will certainly come here, depending on where they're at in their careers and they're looking to win. I mean, Clint Capella is an interesting name, restricted free agent for the Houston Rockets, their center, who's, you know, one of the top big men in the game. Somebody's going to offer him a boatload of money, and Houston's going to have some financial issues. How would he look in a Bulls uniform? Not necessarily. I think that would be an upgrade, but would he come? If the Bulls were offering by far the most money, he would. You know, dollars at the end of the day are a huge thing. They get to come to Chicago. So I don't think, like, the, you know, Michael's disappointment with Jerry Krause and Jerry Reinsdorf, I don't think that plays anymore. It's just, just very hard to get free agents to come when your own team can offer more money in the NBA nowadays. And it's just rare that players in their prime become available. And the ones that do, they, you know, there's a lot of teams offering money. So you want to come to the rebuilding Bulls? Why would you do that when maybe other teams are closer to winning than the Bulls are?
The Bulls have always had an upside, and the upside has been that they have a loyal following. The audience yep. numbers for at the United Center are at the top, if not the top in the NBA. It's always a head scratcher because the Bulls aren't competitive. Do they have to start worrying about that? If they put a product on the court where they're in year two, year three of a rebuild, and they don't get a free agent, is another rookie class that can't finish out games, and we have a similar season where by January we're not paying attention, do the Bulls front office, they got to start thinking about that issue, the issue of attendance and the bottom line?
I think they worry about that. But to their credit, I don't know if it's the swinging seniors or the Dunkin' Donuts race or whatever they've done. I mean, it's unbelievable because, you know, I not only do I watch the people in the seats there, Justin, but I pay close attention to what's going on in the secondary market for tickets. And, you know, there are games during the week when they're playing bad teams where you can get in for, you know, $10 up top and maybe $70 for a box seat. But it's not... It hasn't gone to like what I would think it would go to, which would be like $30 to get a box seat and $5 to get in. Like it hasn't hit that level. So this town likes going to Bulls basketball games, at least a certain segment of it. And again, you mentioned 20 years since 1998. They've been to the Eastern Conference Finals once. They won one game. I mean, it hasn't exactly been some 20 years of success here, and people continue to come out. I don't think they can do it in perpetuity, but. I don't think they're in any danger right now.
It is interesting to think 20 years. As the NBA Finals kick off here, and it is the 20th anniversary of the, you know, the Bulls beating the Jazz in 1998, to think about where the Chicago Bulls are at after that. I mean, after they win this series, right? Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, all those guys are gone. And this is the beginning of what is a rebuild and another rebuild and a rebuild in here. And then a lucky Derrick Rose lotto ball and another rebuild. How has the franchise done in 20 years? I mean, you talked about the actual success on the court. But, I mean, are they at the same point of being NBA royalty where people look around the league and think of the vaunted Chicago Bulls?
No, they're definitely not there. I think there's some level of respect for, you know, Chicago's like a great basketball town and Michael Jordan played there and the Bulls of the 90s will always be a thing. But there's also, I think as long as Gar Foreman's employed by the organization, there'll be a lot of people in the NBA that will kind of wonder what's going on as far as management is concerned. I think there's more respect for John Paxson because he's more of a straight shooter. But, you know, you know, immediately after Michael, they were a disaster. Then Pax came in there, and you know, that was the Ben Gordon Bulls, and Lou Alding, and that team competed. And then they lucked into Derek, which took it to a whole nother level. And if Derek doesn't get hurt, maybe they win a title or go to the finals, something along those lines. Although they still would have had to get by LeBron James, which is it's a pretty long putt, but maybe they would have done it. And then, you know, since then, it's just, you know, it's been a disaster. But they made a decision when they traded Jimmy, and now they're working it back. You know, where it goes from here, I'm highly skeptical. But I think the play overall in trading Butler was the right thing to do. It just they didn't really have a lot of choices at that point, yeah. And you know, there's just really no answers. There's really no clear thing that you could say right now. Well, we know they're going to get there. We don't. We'll see. They got a shot, but it's really up in the air.
Real quick, final question. You know, with the draft and free agency, what's the one position on the court that you think that the Bulls need the upgrade? Where the play?
A wing who can score and shoot and defend, which is a hell of a player. Mikal Bridges is a name out there that you keep hearing. But they need to get more athletic and long on the perimeter. I mean, that's the NBA game right now. The Bulls are short there. I mean, Laurie's he can play on the perimeter, but he can't guard on the perimeter. And Zach's too short to do it. And same thing. And Chris Dunn's too short too at the point guard spot. They need a long wing who can cause a disruption on the defensive end and score the basketball.
There you go. Mark Carman talking NBA basketball right before the NBA Finals kick off where the Cavaliers take on the Golden State Warriors. Carm, can't thank you enough for shifting schedule and talking to us tonight on the download. Thanks, buddy.
My browser trusted. See you, brother.